Tonight I want to continue working with you through some practicalities of our evangelism and discipleship. Kind of more of a little bit more of a teaching time. It's hard for me to not be preachy. Thanks for not amening that. Proud of your restraint. But I do want to talk to you about something very practical tonight, because we've got a work to do, and in order to do work, it's important to have the right tools. Clinton, this weekend, they rented an inflatable, and we were trying to put that up, and nobody had a hammer, not a toy hammer, a real hammer, or any kind of hammer. And I don't know, some of you have had the privilege of working with me, and if you need a hammer, whatever's in your hand, well, that's a hammer, right? But sometimes that doesn't work well. I found a mic stand and used that as a hammer to try to drive the stakes in the ground. It worked, sort of. But finally somebody went and got a sledgehammer, and that happened to work much better. So whatever you can find to work will work sometimes when you have to, but it's far better to have the right tool. Right tool. And in Clinton, Oklahoma, the wind never stops blowing. And it happened to be blowing about 50 miles an hour the whole time we were there, which was wonderful because it was 104 degrees. And so trying to stake down the inflatable so it doesn't blow away, you know, it was an important thing. And it's important to have the right tools. And so when we're talking about evangelism and discipleship, we need some tools to help us in that process, because it's important for us to be good stewards of what God has entrusted to us. So if you're able, let's stand together. To start, let's look at one verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for trusting us with the gospel. Forgive us for when we've not been good stewards, and help us from henceforth to be faithful and good stewards of the gospel and of the souls that you put in our care. Please help us to be a church that wins souls, makes disciples, and bears much fruit that remains for your glory. I pray you'll help in Jesus' name. Amen. We were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. That's what the apostle could say, and those that were missionaries with him, but he wasn't just talking about himself. He was talking to the church at Thessalonica. He said, we've been given the gospel, and we gave you the gospel, and they received the word as it was in truth. If you look down at verse 13, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. We came, we preached, you understood it wasn't just man's word, you understood it was God's word, and you believed it, and it affected something in you. It brought about salvation, and it brought about a soul-winning church. I want you to go back to chapter 1 and look at verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Does that remind you of the message this morning? We got you the gospel. You knew that we brought the gospel to you, and you knew what manner of men we were among you. It's the same thing. It's our doctrine and our actions, our manner of life, our beliefs and our behavior. And he said, you know that. Verse 6 says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. And the church at Thessalonica was under all kinds of persecution and affliction. But when they heard the gospel, their circumstances didn't keep them from coming to Christ. As a matter of fact, it pushed them to Christ. The same thing can happen today. There's a world around us that's hurting and it's dying and it's lost in sin and they're suffering affliction. And the gospel is what they need. So in the midst of their affliction, They had the joy of the Holy Ghost because they became followers of those disciple makers, and then they became disciples themselves because they became followers of the Lord. Check out verse 7. So that, or to the degree that, you were in samples or examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And what a great word, in sample. A lot of times we change it to say example, but they became samples. They became, this is what you want to be. They were models. The church at Thessalonica was a model church. This is what you need to do. They heard the word of God. They followed those who were leading them, and they became followers of Christ. So that to the point that they were examples or in samples to all that believe around. Because why? Verse 8. For because from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he has raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And so they came preaching the word of God, and those believers at Thessalonica, they believed the word. They received it as it was the word of truth, the gospel. It delivered them from the wrath to come because they trusted in Christ, and they followed it to the point that they didn't just keep it inside, but from them sounded out the word of God everywhere they went. And listen to what Paul says. They themselves, verse 9, show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. In other words, the church at Thessalonica went everywhere preaching and telling everybody how these men came preaching the gospel, and we turned from our idols to the living and true God, and that was their testimony and the preaching that they did everywhere they went. It's not complicated, guys. We just take the gospel that we received, we go and we tell people what God's done in our life. I was lost. I was on my way to hell, but I heard the gospel. I believe the gospel. I understand that Jesus died for me and rose again. I've been delivered from the wrath to come, and that's what I want to happen to you too. And it's really, really simple. I just want to ask you a few questions tonight. Do we want to see more people come to faith in Christ? Amen. Do we want to see more families walking with Christ as true disciples? Do we want to see the number of the disciples multiplied in this place? Amen. Do we want to bear much fruit? Fruit that remains to the glory of God. Amen. Well, if that's going to happen, then from us has to sound out the word of the Lord. Amen. In every place. And it's got to be the example of a changed life, because they turned from idols to serve the living and true God. There was a repentance that was evidence in their life. And so our efforts have to be established in the Holy Scriptures. They have to be empowered by the Holy Ghost. We've got to do this God's way and with God's power. And so we have to faithfully take the gospel. Those in this room tonight who are saved have been entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because we've been entrusted with the gospel, we're responsible to take the gospel to the world around us. We're responsible to support missionaries who go into other places in the world. We're responsible to help men who are faithfully preaching the gospel in faraway lands like Clinton, Oklahoma, and Belarus, and Solomon Islands. We're responsible to help them, but we're not just responsible to support those missionaries prayerfully and financially and personally when we can, but we're responsible to take the gospel to our community. We're responsible. You guys know that I am passionate about the fact that this church needs to be evangelistic. We need to be in the business of taking gospel to our community, and that we ought to do that corporately. That's why we have our scheduled soul-winning outreach on Tuesday night. So as a church, we can come together, and as a church, we can go out together to take the gospel to Muldrow. And as a church, we need to do that. And I'll continue to admonish you to do that. But we also have to be faithful in taking the gospel personally as we go through our day-to-day lives. We need to take the gospel to our family members. We need to take the gospel to our neighbors. We need to take, those of you who have friends, need to take the gospel to your friends. Those of you that don't have friends need to make friends so you can take the gospel to them. We need to take the gospel to our coworkers. And you guys are getting ready to go back to school and you need to take the gospel to your classmates. We need to be faithful to take the gospel as we go. There ought to be a multiplication. But it really starts with one taking the gospel to one. Each one of us reaching one. If you go to Acts chapter 2, verses 38 to 41, Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost. And he preaches to the multitudes there, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for or because of the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and unto your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words he did testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Listen, God's Spirit moved on that day, and everybody got out preaching, and we have record of at least part of Peter's great sermon where 3,000 people were saved and baptized at one time. It was incredible. Incredible, wonderful, wonderful work of God. But you know where that started? It started way back in John chapter 1. In verse 38 says, Jesus turned and saw them following, and that's some of John the Baptist's disciples. He saw them following, and he saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him, that is, followed Jesus, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which being interpreted is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. If Andrew doesn't go to his brother and bring his brother to Jesus, then somebody else has got to be the one to step up and preach on Pentecost and see 3,000 souls come to Christ. Are you with me? Listen, friends, you have no idea the impact that your witness is going to have. You have no idea how far it's going to go. I mean, there have been some men who have come to Christ, and it's just because of a faithful Sunday school teacher or a faithful family member or whatever it was, but because of them, you know, somebody gave the gospel to Spurgeon, and somebody gave the gospel to Moody, and somebody gave the gospel to Billy Sunday, and we go back in time, somebody gave the gospel to George Whitfield, and I don't care how far back you want to go, we're right here in the New Testament 2,000 years ago, somebody bothered to take their brother to meet Jesus. Amen. And you have no idea how far reaching your witness is going to be. But we've got to be faithful. We've got to be faithful. I want to talk to you tonight just for a minute about some practical things now. And one of the greatest tools that I've learned about, and I'm still learning, I'm still just getting started with this, but it's already been a blessing to me, and I want to share it with you. And this is a tool that has to do with our soul winning and discipleship personally. And what I want to talk to you about is a personal prospect list. Because I can't remember anything. Do any of you have a hard time remembering things? I mean, how many of you write things down so you won't forget? All right? Then how many of you forget to look at what you wrote down? I mean, I make lists all the time. My desk is constantly covered with Post-it notes. And usually about the time it's too late for that Post-it note to mean anything, I look at it and go, oh. Right? But I want to tell you that a personal prospect list is an invaluable tool an invaluable tool for the soul winner. Now, I asked you a series of questions a moment ago. Do you want to see more people come to faith in Christ? Do we want to see more families walking with Christ in true discipleship? Do we want to see the disciples multiplied at Calvary? Do we want to see these things happen? Well, that's going to require each and every one of us doing the work of soul winning and discipleship. Now, anybody that's been here for more than a minute understands the fact that it's up to all of us to do the work. It's not the pastor's job to do the work. Ephesians 4 tells us it's the pastor's and bishop's job to help the church, to equip the church to do the work of the ministry. And certainly I have to be an example. I have to live it out. I don't expect you to be soul winners if I'm not a soul winner. I don't expect you to disciple people if I don't disciple people. But I promise you, friend, I'm trying. I'm trying. And I think that all of us can be used of God to bring others to Christ. Try that one more time. I think that all of us can be used by God to bring others to Christ. Amen. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Yeah, see, if we'll be faithful in our witness, God will bless. He'll give fruit. So what's a prospect list? Well, it's just a list of names with contact information and a record of the attempts that you've made to contact them. It's nothing complicated. It's a list of names. My personal prospect list that I've just recently started using, it's in my phone. I keep it in my phone because I keep my phone with me all the time. I tend to lose post-it notes, but I don't lose my phone. Right? It's valuable to me, and that's where all of my calendars, all of my reminders, all of my to-do list, and all of those things, it's on my phone. So I keep my personal prospect list in my phone. Some of you don't do electronics, and there's nothing wrong with that. There are a lot of times that I can't handle electronics. I need a piece of paper and a pen to get something out. I need that sometimes. And some of you are like that, and so it could just be something as simple as this, just name and address, contact information, and then a record of how you followed out. And I've got something similar to this to give you tonight for those of you that are interested. But a personal prospect list is just a list of names with contact information and a way to track keeping up. So whose name should be on my prospect list? Well, on my prospect list is anybody who I think is a potential prospect. Now, it could be somebody who's a guest at church, somebody who visited your Sunday school class. It could be somebody in your family or a neighbor. It could be somebody that you met on door knocking, on soul winning outreach on Tuesday nights because you're faithful to go on outreach on Tuesday nights. It could be a business contact. It could be just about anybody, a coworker, a classmate, anywhere we meet people and we're constantly trying to reach people with the gospel. Anywhere we meet people, because we're constantly reaching out to them with the gospel,
amen,
there can be contacts, there can be prospects. And so we have a prospect list. I knock on somebody's door. They don't tell me to beat it. They're not slamming the door on the cat. They seem genuinely interested. Maybe I give them the gospel. Maybe they get saved right there. Maybe they don't, but they obviously are interested in the gospel. They're interested in church. And so I might put them on my personal prospect list. Or it might be somebody that I realize is in a different life stage than I am, and somebody else might be a lot more suited to reach them. And so maybe I'll send that contact to somebody else and say, hey, this is somebody you ought to follow up with. But those prospects can come from just about anywhere. So how do I use my prospect list? Number one, pray for your prospects every day. Pray for your prospects every day. God working in hearts is infinitely more valuable than all the effort we can ever put into anything by ourselves. We need God to work in their hearts. So we need to plead with God to work in their hearts. We need to ask Him, and every day we need to pray for those people. I think right now I've got 11 names on my personal prospect list, and I pray for them, and I ask God for them. Some of them are saved, and I pray for God to bring them on to the next step, that they'll get baptized and become part of this local body of believers, that they'll join the church. There's others on my list that are not saved, and I pray for them to be saved, to come to Christ, and to become real disciples, and we pray for them. Pray for them every day. Number two, contact them weekly. Write them a note, send them a text, make a call, go visit them, but in some way have some contact with them every week. We need to diligently pursue our prospects. And it needs to be more than I'm just trying to check something off my list to ease my conscience. Like if I go by to see somebody and they're not home, I go, well, I tried. No, I need to stay after them. Because we're talking about somebody I'm trying to personally work on to bring to Christ. I don't need to give up on that. I don't need to so easily just dismiss it. I need to be diligent about that. Because remember, our heart is to see them become real disciples of Christ. And that's important. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Maybe you feel like they're getting a little annoyed with you because some of you are annoying. Yeah, I wonder who was in their mind on that amen. Who were they thinking about? Amen. Maybe you, instead of going to see them for the third week in a row, maybe you just write them a note. But don't neglect them. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And I want you to understand this. God has entrusted the gospel to us, which means he's also entrusted people to us. I said, God's put people into your life, and you may just think nothing of that, but that's a big deal. It's a big deal when God intersects your life with someone else's where you can give them the gospel. It's not by happenstance that you ran into your new neighbor the other day. It's not by accident that you had this new person come to work and you started working right next to them. Listen, God is trying to set up appointments for you. Divine appointments, and we need to be faithful stewards. I told you this morning we have 51 families a Bible school to follow up with, but we've got like 150 individuals. Before Bible school ever happened, we got about 150 individuals, young people and adults that have been in this building. Guests. And I'm not talking about over the past 5 years. I'm just talking about in recent months. It's amazing what God has done. How many of you like to fish? Anybody like to fish? All right. I've seen videos on the internet where the fish are literally jumping in the boat, but that's on the internet. Right? I mean, I don't know if those fish are good eating or not. But anytime I've been bass fishing or crappie fishing or catfishing or anything else, I have never had the fish jump in the boat. It just not happen. I barely can get them on the rod, right? Usually can't get them on the hook anyway, but much less have them jump in the boat. The Lord has called us to be fishers of men, and he's literally sending fish. They're jumping in the boat. And we're so distracted that we're letting them plop right back out in the water. Friends, it shouldn't be that way. Listen, God has given us this task, and he's called us to be good stewards. Listen, what I'm trying to tell you is we need help. I can't do this by myself. And that we have a handful of people in the church that are faithful to make visits and to do those things, but we need everyone to help. We need everyone to help. I got to tell you, it's heartbreaking to me. I've been fishing enough to see somebody almost catch a really nice fish. But you know, if you don't land it, it doesn't count. Right? Now, how many of you have been there? I mean, you got it up, and of course, you're the only one that can see it, but it's a monster. Like, I almost caught the biggest fish in my life, but it bailed right at the shore, right at the boat, got away. Anybody been there? I'm afraid that there's some men in the church that have been more upset about losing a fish than we've been about letting people get out of the church and out of our lives If that's not convicting to you, it certainly is to me. We need to pray for those prospects every day. We need to contact them every week. And some of you just already feel awkward about that. But listen to me. Do we not see the value in a soul? Do we not see the value in being able to, listen, it's not a big deal today to send somebody a text. That's not intrusive to send somebody a text today. If somebody's offended because you wrote them a note and told them that you were praying for them, listen, obviously their heart's not in a good place, but I'm just saying that most people in the world today are going to be touched that you would take the time to write them a note. That we would follow up, that we would visit them. People are astounded today when somebody cares. We live in a world today where nobody cares. And when you show that you genuinely care about somebody, people are amazed by that. Number three, update regularly. Keep track of your contacts every week. Update the entire list periodically. My prospect list is on my phone, so when I send texts, I've got record of that. When I make calls, I've got record of that. My phone keeps track of that for me, but when you make a visit or you send a note, you need to make a record of that so you know the visits that you've made. And the more people are added to your list, the more important that's going to be. But we've got to keep track. We've got to update it. Now, some of you say, well, okay, Brother Isaac, I this sounds really good to me. I want to be better at this. I can't remember stuff. You know, I can't even remember who asked me to pray for them. So I'm in. I'm going to start a personal prospect list. I've got some people I've already been praying for. I'm going to put them on my list. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to visit them. I'm going to call them. I'm going to write them. I'm in. But how long do I keep them on the list? How long? Well, the pastor that I learned about prospect lists from said one time that he keeps people on his prospect list until they get saved and baptized into the church. That's the goal, right? We're kind of what we're hoping for here. Or they tell them to drop dead, don't ever call me again. I'd ask for a show of hands how many of you have been ever told drop dead, don't ever call me again, but I'm afraid it'd be everybody. We ought to stay after them until we reach the goal. If the goal is to make real disciples, then that's when we take them off that list and put them on a different list, is when we reach the goal. They've been saved. They've trusted Christ the Savior. They've been baptized. They're in the church, and they're starting to learn and starting to grow. A lot of people, one man I heard the other day, he has a prospect list of people who are lost and not baptized. They're not part of the church. But when they get saved and baptized, he moves them to a different list. He calls a sweetheart list. I guess you could call yours whatever you want to. And those are people who are newly in the church that he's trying to disciple and help along, help to grow. I just want to say this. You can take this and do whatever you want to with it, but we need to be better stewards of the people that God's brought into our lives. I'm terrible, and it makes me ashamed because so many times we've knocked on doors and talked to somebody, and you get their name, and you repeat their name back to them, and you say, man, it's so nice to meet you today, Steve, and I'm so glad, and we give them the gospel, and you meet Steve, and you meet his wife, Ann, and you have a great visit, and you turn around and walk down the driveway, and you say to your partner, what were their names? And you have no idea. I've walked from the door to the road, and I don't remember their name anymore. I mean, that's reality for me. Which house was that? Oh, that's okay. I'll remember next time we come. And the next time we go to that neighborhood, I'm driving around for 30 minutes because I can't remember which house it was. So we need lists. We need to write things down. And so now, sometime I'm going to show you the video from Clinton, and there's a video on there, and we're standing outside some apartments, and I'm doing this, and I could already tell, I already knew what some of you be saying. What's he doing, checking Facebook while he's at outreach? What's he doing? What I was doing was texting the name of a lady, and right now I can't remember what it was, but I texted the name and the apartment number to Brother Ben so that he could follow up. And I've started trying to make that a practice. Listen, when I meet somebody, if they let me give them the gospel, I'm going to give them my phone number. And I'm going to do that by texting it to their number. See how that works? See what I did there? Because I want to be able to keep contact. See, some people approach evangelism like this. My goal is to give out as many gospel tracts as I possibly can. I just want to canvass this neighborhood. I want to go as fast as I can from door to door to door to door to door to door. And once I've covered that neighborhood, I want to go on to the next neighborhood. And that way we can get through the map of our town as fast as possible. We've covered the whole thing and we feel really good about it. But friends, I don't think that's what God's called us to. Listen, we go out knocking on doors. If I spend all my time, hour and a half, 2 hours at one house, then that's okay. If I'm giving the gospel to somebody and I'm able to do that, that's great. That's great. You see, our goal is not just to cover as many houses as we can. Our goal is to bring as many people to Christ as we can. When I first started pastoring in Salisaw, I had that philosophy. If I put a gospel tract in somebody's hand, there you go, I've done my job. I knocked on the door, I left a tract, that's it. But I learned the hard way that that's not what God's called us to do. You see, if that's the first time this guy, Kevin, his name's Kevin, by the way, it's the first time Kevin got a tract, he might not get saved that first time. And so I might need to go back to his house next week. I might need to send him a text, invite him to lunch. I might need to say, hey, why don't you come to my Sunday school class and after church we'll go grab some lunch. I need to keep connecting with him, keep investing in him, keep going back. Because Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. There's got to be the work of cultivating. There's got to be the work of planting. There's got to be the work of watering. And that doesn't happen with one encounter. We've got to be faithful. And that's why we need a list. Tonight we're going to stand together, if you would please. We're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, God has entrusted us with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we need to use the right kind of tools to be faithful in that. If you want to talk to me later, I can help you out with how I've got my prospect list on my phone. There's an app for that. I also have these on paper. Anybody that wants them, I'll have them at the back. You take as many as you want. We'll make more. But let's be faithful. Let's be diligent to follow up and to pray and to be diligent to reach people. Friends, we have a great task before us. And we need to be faithful stewards. Lord's convicting your heart tonight. Will you come?
Page 5.